was a farm, an old farmhouse. And in that farmhouse, there was multiple rooms, of course, and multiple dividers that had been taken out over the years because it was the number of rooms in some of those old houses. And they were all small rooms in the parlor and this and that and another thing. And so some of the rooms, had, the dividers had been taken out. And part of the living room, it was a huge living room. And just off the living room was two small rooms. And on the one small room, it probably was like a 10 by 10 room. And I had my the guns and the different things I had in a portion of that room or in piece of that room. And I had an old table in that room, and we had an old desk. It was kind of like a roll top desk, but I think it was called a secretary's desk. It didn't have any roll top, but it had the high back that come up. And that desk was part of the room as well. And I had a table over on the opposite corner of that desk that I would clean guns and I would do different things in that room. And so one day I had this autoload 22 that was just kind of throwing fits, and I got aggravated with that gun, and so I took it into that room to see what was wrong with that gun. And just so you know, in like a 93, 94, we did not have YouTube videos to walk you through something. You just had to be brave enough or stupid enough to go ahead and start tearing something apart to see if you could bring a solution to it. And so I don't know if I was brave or stupid, but I started to tear that gun apart because I was not happy that I had to unjam shells every time I pulled the trigger. And so I had it out on the table, and I was tearing it apart, and it's not a very big weapon, so the parts are somewhat small, and I can take my Mossberg 500 apart. I could actually make a YouTube video on that now, and that's a big gun, bigger parts. This is a little gun, smaller parts. And so I'm tearing this gun apart with a determination that I'm going to figure out what's wrong with this gun. At least I'm going to give it a good cleaning, and if nothing else, it's going to get a good bath while I have it all apart. And so I start to endeavor to try to figure out how to take this gun apart. And you have to push here and pull here and loosen this and different things. And I was learning that as I was going. I had no drawing. I was going after it. Well, I ended up tearing things probably more apart than what I should have. And I come to a part where I picked off a piece of that gun, and a spring took air. And there was a spring, and it wasn't the barrel spring. It was a real small spring from down inside of the gun. And so the spring had airfare, apparently, and it went over my shoulder toward the desk somewhere, I think. And so all of a sudden, now I realize that I need that spring. I'm thinking that if it was there originally, it probably needed to be there again. And leaving that spring out probably was not going to be beneficial for the gun to be able to fire well. And so I began to search, and there was a old carpet on the floor of that room, and there was other things, and there were some blankets, and there was other things stored in that room, and the table. All I know is it didn't go in front of me. It went somewhere over my back. And so I began to look for that spring, and I began to search and search and search and really give it a spring cleaning. I mean, I had to shake everything out and searching for literally hours perhaps to find this spring. And all of a sudden, I think I cleaned off the whole desk piece by piece. We're talking a very small spring. And all of a sudden, I started to move the desk. And I moved the desk out into the middle of the room, and I found the spring. I found the spring down back of the desk. It must have went down in between the desk and the wall, in the carpet. You could barely see it. But I found the spring because I was in great searching for I was searching greatly for that spring. We see in the scriptures there's many search parties or searching that people went after because they knew that they needed something or they needed to find out more about that. And so they searched for something in depthly. They searched intently into what they needed and what they were after. They didn't let anything get in their way. They searched and searched and searched. And we could go to John 3 and we could unpack Nicodemus' search for the truth. And it's just a powerful moment when Nicodemus knew that his status was there and it could be hindered if people knew that he was seeking after Jesus. He was a Pharisee. So at night, he had to search at night, and he found Jesus. In John 3, just a powerful moment when Nicodemus is pursuing the truth, when Nicodemus is searching after something that he needed. And maybe I could take you to even the prodigal son. And the prodigal son was searching for the meaning of life, I believe. And he thought if he could have control of everything in his own life, that he could find the meaning of true life. So he endeavored to challenge his dad, his father, to give him his inheritance. And he went out and he started to search for the meaning of life. And the really cool part of that story is he actually found it in the end. He found it in the end when he returned to the Father. He found what he was searching for. Nicodemus found what he was searching for. If we go to Matthew 2, we see that the wise men or the magi, the kings, we three kings, are searching. They're in a great search for something. They're searching for it. They know that it's there. There's evidence that's there. And they need to find it. And they want to find it really bad. And they've left their country. They've surrendered all for this search. They've left their homeland and they've searched over maybe hundreds of miles seeking for something that they knew was there. The signs had been there. They knew that the spring was there somewhere. And they began to search and search and search, and they would not give up in their search. This morning, I want to look at their search a little more in-depthly. I want to see them really tearing apart the room in the old farmhouse. I want to see them moving the desk. I want to see them picking through the carpet with their hands to find the spring. They went all out. These guys were looking for the truth. They were looking for what they knew that was there. They had seen evidence of this truth in their life and seen evidence in their truth in their world, and they were looking for this. They were on a search for something that was real. I feel like a lineman that just run back, 100 yards for, I need oxygen up here. But they were after it. And we pick that story up in Matthew chapter 2. And it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews?" And we're going to see a little more further down the passage that they knew that he was there because there was a star that had shown up. But they come and they knew that it was toward Jerusalem, and they were searching Jerusalem. They were out of their element. They were searching for something that they knew was there. And they came to Jerusalem looking for this because they had been led to Jerusalem. And they came to Jerusalem and they said, "Whoa, and I wonder if they just come through the city gate and just started to talk. Listen, there was a king born in this town at some point or in this area. We know that we've been led to this room. This room, the spring is in this room somewhere." And I can imagine they started talking to the people just as they walked into Jerusalem. "Hey, where's the king? Hey, can you tell me where the king is? We know that he's been born. We know that he's in this room. We know that he's in this area. Can you tell us where he's at?" I find it interesting that they didn't have the answers for the magi. And so the magi continue. It says, "We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." It started with a star. We saw his star. We saw something that pointed to this region, that there was a king born in this region. And some have, if you study that out, some say that it's Jupiter and Saturn and Mars were all in a line. Some say it was a supernova, and some say that it was a comet, and some say that it was a meteor. The wise men who saw it say it's his star. Not a star we're not following. We saw his star. Why did they follow the star? Wasn't there just a curiosity where they just say, "What is that?" And just kind of surrender everything in our life and just kind of search after this, wherever this star is leading us. And just because we're curious of what's at the other end. Or maybe their life was empty. Was it an emptiness in them? And they were looking for some more meaning in their life. And they were looking for this king that had been born in this region. This star showed up and showed him that this was the region that he was in. Or was there something that they had could not explain but compelled them to search? And I believe it's that. I really do. At times I'm compelled to search. And I don't know. I can't put my finger on everything. Maybe my life is empty. Maybe I'm just curious. But I'm searching after, and these wise men or these magi were searching after what they saw the star was pointing to, a king. They saw his star. I wonder, did God just hang a star? Did God just hang a star as an alert? Was God so happy and so full of joy that another star was born the day his son was born in this earth? Was it a special occasion? We get these, the babies are born and you see the balloons and all kinds of stuff. It's a special occasion. I wonder if God goes all out. He calls FTD, can you hang a new star? My son was just born. Can you hang a star? I just want to alert the world that my son has been born. The King of the Jews has been born. Did God just hang the star to alert the world that something was happening in this small region of Judea? The star was a sign and an alert, but also was a direction giver. It pointed them in a certain direction. They followed his star because they were curious, because maybe they were empty. And they said, we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. We have come to bow down before him. This is an action caused by knowing that you are in the presence of someone greater than you. They weren't just looking for any normal person. They were looking for someone that they knew had been born greater than them, that was greater than them, and that someone that it was worthy for God to hang a star to say, this is in celebration of the birth of the King of the Jews and the Savior for all mankind. They knew that he was more than just the normal blood and flesh and blood of normal babies. We knew that they knew it was more. We have come all this way. We're on this great search. We have come all this way because we want to bow down, because we know we're going to be in the presence of someone who is greater than us. We have come to worship him. They were searching for someone greater than themselves. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. I find it interesting that perhaps they come through the city gates, and they just started to talk to maybe the common guy and say, hey, where's the king that was born? The king that was worthy to hang a star in his honor. We saw his star. It wasn't a meteor just flung through the air. It was a star. It was his star. Where's that king that's greater than any of us, that's greater than us, that we have come to worship? Where is he? And the common guy did not know, and so I would go to the palace as well. If I'm looking for a newborn king, I think I would go to the palace. And so they go to the palace, and Herod hears, and they address Herod, and Herod becomes very disturbed, and all the people of Jerusalem become disturbed with him. King Herod was not aware of this new king. I don't know if they were disturbed because they think there's a new king in their presence, or they didn't realize there was a new king in their presence. I'm not sure if Herod's feeling a little threatened right now or a little left out. And maybe a little bit of both, because here's someone greater, worthy of a star being hung in his honor. And he had no inkling or no idea that Savior, that King, had been born in his region, and he was not privy to that information. If we know anything about King Herod or Herod the Great, we would know, I think we know, that did not settle well with him. And the wise men or the magi were in such a search that they went to the common people. They went to Herod himself. And they and they began and continued to search for this newborn child, this newborn king. When he had called together, Herod had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law and asked them where the Christ was to be born. I find it interesting that Herod just went from king to Christ. You know what I think he was asking him? Hey, are you guys expecting a Messiah? Just checking with you guys. He's talking to the church here now. He's talked to the Magi have talked to the common guy, just the guy on the street, I believe. And I think he talked to Herod, and I think all of Jerusalem. I don't know if that was every person, but I think it was the leadership of Jerusalem. So they went to the common guy. They couldn't tell him where the king was. And so they went to Herod, and he couldn't tell him where the king was. And so they went to the other leadership of Jerusalem, and they couldn't tell him where the king was. So Herod calls in the church and says, listen, they're claiming that you guys got a new Messiah. That this whole thing, this star thing, is because someone is born for you, the Messiah. Are you guys expecting the Christ or the Messiah? Just check it. Let's bring a solution to this. The sad part of it is the religious leaders knew the time or knew where that Messiah was going to be born, but they didn't know that he had been born. The church did not know Jesus was in the house. I hope we never become a church that don't know Jesus is in the house. And the church or the religious leaders of that day answered, in Bethlehem in Judea, they got the Sunday school answer. Hey, Micah says, hey, you remember that, Bill? Remember in Sunday school when they told us to memorize that scripture? Yeah, it's now's the time to use it. Micah tells us, the prophet says, in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet was, for what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. And that had happened right under their noses, and they never knew it. Again, I feel so convicted over this passage as I unfolded this week. That is Jesus right under my nose? And I can't even recognize he's there. And the Magi are searching, and the Magi are going to find this. They are relentless. They have sold all. They have sold it all, I think. They are from a foreign land. They have come here. Maybe they had Jewish roots. I don't know. But they didn't say, hey, can I have an hour off of work? Can I leave early today because I need to stop at Walmart on the way home? I don't know what their jobs were, but that was beside the point. They were on a search. And they would talk to people. And they would talk to the rulers. And they would talk to the king. And they were talking to the church. And no one could help them. Woo! No one could point him toward the Messiah. But they were relentless. They did not give up because they knew that it was there. They knew what they saw. They knew what they felt. They knew that he was there. Verse 7 says, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from when the exact time the star had appeared. And we know later on in the passage, we're not going to get there, that it's about 2 years perhaps, or just under 2 years. And just so you know, the star appeared 2 years ago, and they've been searching. And we know that Herod is going to do a horrible thing, and he's going to have baby boys killed that are 2 years and under, because he's going to eliminate this Messiah. He's going to eliminate this king. He's going to eliminate this threat to himself, because now he's ticked, I believe. Now he's not only feeling left out, now he's mad. And ain't nobody going to come into my kingdom and stop what I'm going to do. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so I may go and bow low before someone who is greater than me. That's not his intention. And I just wonder sometimes in my own life, am I searching for Jesus so I can just bow low to him? Or am I searching to Jesus because he didn't show up in my life like I thought he should, and I'm going to give him a piece of my mind? The trouble is, giving God or people a piece of your mind, after a while you're going to run out of mind, and some of us are there. Verse 9 says this, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over a place where the child was. The star had not let them down. But I found it very interesting that I have a feeling that it's daytime. Because I'm not sure Herod got up in the middle of the night. I'm not sure the townspeople were out in the middle of the night. I'm not sure the religious people were out in the middle of the night. I happen to think it was daytime. And all of a sudden, after what? After the common guy had let him down, and after the king had let him down, small k king, and after the rulers of Jerusalem had let him down, and after the church had let him down, the star did not let him down. In the middle of the day, I believe the star showed them where the church couldn't show them, the star showed them. Where the people, the star did. Where the king, the star. Because God's going to show himself to those who search for him. The star is back. The star had made the proclamation. The star had led them across the lands. And the same star now leading them to a very particular place. I don't know if it's a Jupiter and Saturn and Mars all lined up, or a supernova or a comet or a meteor. I happen to think it's the Shekinah glory of God. Which means the released invisible life of God. God just opens up a little bit, and the Shekinah glory comes out of God. He just pulls back a little bit and releases the life, the visible life that's inside of him, and it creates this entity that's leading the Magi to a very particular place. Verse 10 says this, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. In the terms there, the term is very strong language. And as I was studying that out and studying now, they were beside themselves with wonder. They were beside themselves with thrill. They were beside themselves with joy. They were running around the room like a 2-year-old on jelly beans and Mountain Dew. They were amped up because the star was taking them to their searching place. His star. A star that God had hung. Not only to proclaim, listen, new lifers, not only to proclaim that his son was born, but to lead those who are searching after him to his son. God says, you search for me, you'll find me. I promise you, you search for me. People may let you down, kings may let you down, rulers may let you down, your land may let you down, your church may even let you down, but God says, I won't let you down. Because I promise that if you search for me, you will find me. On coming to the house, sorry, your nativity scenes are not correct. Take the wise men and put them in a house with a 2-year-old Jesus running around. when they came to the house, and I wonder, are they scratching their head and saying, this is just a house, not a palace? We're expecting to find the king in a palace. Can I just add something here? It's not in my notes. You may find Jesus in some very unique places. And the Magi know. And they came to the house, and I'm wondering if they were walking up to the house and saying, the star says here. Really? We're expecting something a little more grand. But they continued to move ahead, and they saw the child and his mother, Mary, not a queen, not dressed in royalty, his mom and a two-year-old outdoors. I think his dad was at work. They saw the house, and they saw the mom, and they saw the child. And they bowed down and worshiped him. Something they knew. They had found what they were looking for. They had moved the desk. They had moved the blankets. They had moved the pillows. They had bent down on their hands and knees looking in the carpet, and they found him. And they bowed down and worshiped him, and they opened their treasures and presented him the gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. They saw him in a house. They were an ordinary woman for his mom. What did they think? God had given them the assurance that this was what they were looking for. And they saw the one that they were looking for, the king that they were looking for. They had found him. And they bowed down and worshiped, and they opened up their treasure, and they laid before this newborn king, this Messiah, this Christ child, gold. And they laid before him gold because he is the king. Push the button, please. Gold because he is king. A king that assures victory. They were bringing the most valuable thing they could get. To represent this newborn child was the king. He was the king that was going to assure victory. They will make war, and this is a whole setup and revelation, and all the people have got together, and all the wickedness, and all the evil, and the beasts, and all together had mustered up their armies and had infiltrated the power of Satan and the evil to come against Jesus. And it says, and they will make war against the Lamb. But the Lamb will overcome them because he is the Lord of lords and he is the King of kings. Those wise men, those magi knew that they'd found the king that would give them victory, that would assure victory to those who would find him. And with him will be his called, chosen and faithful followers. That king's bringing you along in that victory. And we say, we know whether we found the king. We found a king that's going to assure victory no matter what we're up against in life. That king, if he can face that war with victorious behavior, with victory in his hands, if he could face that and win, I don't know what you're up against or what I'm up against, but that is peanuts compared to that. And Jesus brought victory because he is the King of kings and he is the Lord of lords. And the Magi said, we have found the King. And then they opened up the next portion of their gift, and they give him incense because he is God, the God that gives life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing that has been made was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. They knew that the king had assured victory, and they knew that he was God, and they brought frankincense or incense. Then they opened up the last vial, the last box, and they presented him with myrrh. And I believe that myrrh, we know that myrrh was used in the embalming practices of the dead. And I believe that they were given him myrrh because he is the atoning sacrifice. He was given him myrrh because he is a Savior that paid it all. That he is a Savior that's going to pay it off. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords, and he is the Savior who pays it all. And he is God. They had found him. They had found him. New life. They had found him. It all began with a star. It all began with a star. Not a star, his star. Not a meteor, his star. It all began with a star, and the star was visible. Push the button. The star was visible, but not all saw. The star was visible, but not all cared. And the star was visible, but not all pursued. But God put it there anyway because some saw, because some cared, because some pursued, and some found the King, God, Savior. They were finding, they found his star. They found, they will find, some will find the King that assures victory, the God who loves them, the Savior who will pay the price for them. I'm asking us that. I have 239 of these. My fingers aren't still right from last night. But last night, as I was putting, and Cheryl was helping me, and I was putting these stickers on these stars, these stickers that said his star, and I picked up a star and I stuck a sticker on there, and I'm saying, what if it's that star that someone starts someone's journey toward God? What if it's this? What if I just give it to someone and it actually starts them on the journey to seek God? What if it's this one? What if we take these 239 stars as new life and we just give them out this season? Would you partner with me, or do you want me to do all 239? Guarantee you these 239s are going out. Because I don't know. Because one star on the top of someone's gift might just start leading him toward the King, the God, and the Savior that's going to save him. Today's December 2. The season is about us. Would you take some stars with me? My goal is that all 239 would be gone before this group of people leave here. Because I want people who are on the search for God to see a star, his star. And that they will journey toward God, and God would show them, and God would give them the wherewithal to stay fast with him. Justin, will you take one of these? I'm going to ask these guys to just mill about here in just a few moments. if you think your dinner is burning and you can't wait for a star, God, help that roast not to burn. In Jesus' name. Don't leave here without a star. Don't leave here without 4 or 5 stars. Can you imagine if you hook one of these to someone's gift and they actually search for Jesus and find him? So I'm going to pray. I'm going to have us all stand. This is the altar call, if you will. Go to one of these boxes. Please stand with me. Now's not the time to wait for your guy, wait for your buddy to take a star. Take a star. 239 of his stars are going to be hung in this land this season. And I believe that some are going to follow it and find Jesus. Father God, thank you for this day. And Father, these are, I know, wooden stars. I know I paid 30 cents a piece for them. I know the stickers were printed. I know there was like an hour and a half putting stickers and ties on stars. But I also know that his star has already led some guys to Jesus. And I believe that the star will do it again. His star will do it again. Help us to put these 239 stars in this world, in our families, in our workplaces, in our gift giving, on the top of the gift. Help them not be on the floor of the van. Help them be in the hands of those that can say, I'm going to search and see who this is that you're talking about. In Jesus' name, amen. Get a star before you leave.
Seas that are shaken and stirred.